So once every so often, I will do what's called a macro dose of psilocybin mushroom. And that's what I have just done, and it feels great. Yep, this is what it sounds like when you've taken a pretty hefty or strong dose, or whatever you want to call it, of mushroom. Obviously, I'm not foaming at the mouth. I'm not walking around, I'm not sitting down gripping like I'm on some roller coaster wishing it would all be over. No. Totally lucid. I mean, I'm doing a flipping podcast, for goodness sake, right now. I do it every now and then, probably once a month, once every 2 months. I think I should do it a little bit more often, maybe once every 2 weeks, to take a couple grams. In this case, I just took a gram, but this feels about right now. I kind of wanted it to be short. I just wanted a touch of reality. Microdosing obviously would be like 100 milligrams. This would be, add another zero, 1,000 milligrams. So that's what I did. I think it's good to do a macro dose every now and then to keep things in a perspective, to peel away all those layers of shit that you accumulate over the course of your weeks, your months, your years. If it's your first time doing it, you're going to have some crazy revelations. But for me, I'm just going to tell you in the perspective of a guy that does it, well, like I said, once a month. It feels good, man. Like, you look at your bed, you look at your mattress, the things around you as like luxury instead of looking at it as like a price tag or a bill. You know? I guess there's so many other ways to explain this, but this is what comes to mind. I just wanted to sit at home, get a few things done. I had my list of things to do today. I got almost all of it done. I mean, this dose will probably last for another hour or two, and then I'll be right back to it. I could have done it as like at the end of the day type thing, but it's a Sunday and I have to work tomorrow, so it would be kind of silly to do that. Not that it carries over, but I think it's good to do something like this with a day, like between a day or two of like nothing, just so you're not thinking of, you're not worried about like the impending 9 a.m. doom that you have the next day. So I just did this. I knew it was going to last a few hours and I'd be fine. So I don't think I want to go back to work anymore. In terms of the office, they're starting to call us all back, and I think it's kind of silly. The pandemic isn't over, but it's, you know, we're at the tail end of it, and it seems like, and I'm totally just going with what I'm thinking of right now. It seems like they want us all to come back, and I'm not quite sure many people are going to take it very well. There's been a lot of talk about resistance about going back to the office, but I think it's a worldwide view, at least in the office world. A lot of us don't want to. I think what happened during the pandemic could be kind of compared to or synonymous with a fucking macro dose of mushroom, so to speak. We all saw what it was like to kind of be raw and real, to be at home with family, which seemed to suck at first, but now when it's being taken away, you kind of realize how nice it is to be at home and how cool it is to be kind of in touch with your loved ones and so on. It really showed you who had whose back. I know that a lot of restaurants are having trouble right now. Hospitality and service industries are having trouble getting people back. And the excuse is because of legislation that's being pushed on them to raise the minimum wage. Yeah, I get it. But you didn't have anyone's fucking back. That's why nobody wants to go back to work for you. And that's why nobody new wants to work with you, because everybody heard all the horror stories. You didn't give insurance to anyone. You never have. There was no safety net for any of your employees that you claim to care for so much. And so none of those people wanted to, you know, come back. On top of that, imagine you're dealing with an agitated public and the people that have to serve them are still people. So you have humans having to pretend to like this new wave of agitated American because of, you know, sociopolitical garbage, the fucking pandemic, which is very real, and just it's a shit job to begin with. So people are less likely to go back to work in those roles because of all the drama and because those companies have never had our backs. Shifting gears back to the whole office thing, a lot of people, I mean, some people I've heard of within our, you know, my kind of, you know, affiliations, some people bought properties out by a lake, for example, and have just gotten super cushy and just accustomed to just waking up every morning and doing work from their laptop and being out by the lake and in nature and just kind of living life. Some people have just gotten so used to that. They committed to it, bought a property. Now we're being asked to come back to work. And people are like, I don't know if I even want to come back to a company that has me do that. If I could do everything from home, what's the point in coming back? Like, we were forced to go home and leave the offices because of health reasons, and everybody was working just as good. And about a month ago, 2 months ago, everybody was claiming all these corporate, you know, fucking talking heads or whatever, these corporate consultants or whatever were claiming, oh, people are performing so well at home, it's almost as if they're performing better. And then the narrative changed to actual CEOs saying, we found metrics that indicate that people are actually performing better at home. They're doing more work, and obviously people are less stressed out. I get it. If you're a young couple with kids, because we had them next door, they just moved out. I live in an apartment. They were every day, you could just see their faces. They were just so exhausted of having to be with the kids and the uncertainty. And, you know, I mean, that's a whole rabbit hole I don't want to talk about right now. But there's little justification for telling people to come back to work when you just said that we were doing so much better at home. So, wait, what is it? Ultimately, it's whatever the companies want to do, and that's make sure that you remember who you work for. And I think in the next year or so, we're going to see a ton of people saying, you know what, I'm not going to come back to work. I'm just going to work somewhere else. Or maybe not in the next few years, but right now, you're going to see a lot of pushback. You're going to see a lot of standoffs with companies. Because they're not making a lot of sense. And I guess what I'm getting at is I think we've gotten a taste of what it feels like to be in control as people, you know, of what it is to be kind of living as equals, kind of in terms of humanity, if you'll take away the political side of things and the racial side of things, which in the, I guess, gender battles, for a moment, we were all during the pandemic calling each other and talking to each other as equals. Just for that moment. I don't miss the pandemic. Let's be real. I don't want to say the pandemic like it's over, but the quarantine. I don't miss the quarantine, but I kind of miss the quarantine. And I think people are starting to realize that that's being stripped away and how natural that felt to talk to the people you actually care about, be in contact with them, do the things that you actually want to do with your day. Be a little bit more in control if you had a job. For a while there, I had no job, and I was literally, my job was finding another job. But for many people, I mean, my experience doesn't quantify everyone's experience. And for most people, the pandemic meant just kind of being at home and being a little bit more in tune with what matters. And now that we're all starting to go back to, hey guys, all systems go, we're going back to normal. It's like, wait, wait, wait. Nobody fucking likes that new normal or that normal. That normal that you guys talk about, it was always abnormal. So we don't fucking really know if we want to go back to that again. Yeah, these are the breakthroughs that I have when I'm tripping on mushrooms, people. The one person that might listen. I always say that. But yeah, so that's what's been running through my head. I don't necessarily know if people are going to want to go back to that lifestyle. And I mean, at least in my office, I'm seeing that I'm seeing a lot of new faces that are coming in, and apparently these are people that have been working for the company forever. We've just never seen them. I don't know what the company is doing. I don't know what other companies are doing in terms of kind of asking everybody to come back, which is against the metrics that were given to us, which is that people operate way better when they're not in the office. I don't get it. Why would you do what's, the antithesis of what's best for everyone, including the company and your employees. On the flip side, I think being here at home on this little trip I'm taking, it's really nice because it also gives me perspective as to what I want to do on the individual level. I don't want to go back to the office. It's kind of silly. This whole thing is a sham, right? It's like the more you think about, the more you like let yourself into the trip, the more I'm realizing that this is the way we should all feel all the time. I mean, maybe not tripping, but microdose. A little bit warmer, a little bit more like in tune with reality. Like I'll look into the mirror and be like, you fucked up the other day, right? And it's totally natural. It's like, yeah, I kind of did. Like, you shouldn't have said that, right? Like, that was your fault. So it does help strip away the ego and kind of put me back into reality. And it's like, wow, I'm happy that I got to have that conversation with myself because you'll be lying to yourself forever on certain topics. There's certain things that I could literally just keep lying to myself forever on. And kind of happy I do this every now and then, man. I work for corporate America and I'm not really happy about that. And I had to do that because of the pandemic. A lot of us are in these roles that we didn't really choose. We just kind of had to. When you're kind of gasping for air and you're clawing for a life preserver and somebody throws you one, you're not going to fucking be like, who does this belong to? Oh, I don't eat McDonald's. I only eat Wendy's. Like, there's no, oh, this is a Chevy. I only drive Ford. Nah, dude, you want a fucking life preserver here. Thanks. And so you take the life preserver. I want to think of it as a lifesaver, like a little ring, a little lifesaver candy. But yeah, so when you're clawing for one and they give you one, you just fucking take it. And I took it. And a lot of us did. And now we're coming to the realization, I don't fucking think I want to do that anymore. Especially now that we're being told to come back to work. And it's like, for what? I'm much happier doing something else. And I think, as a former entrepreneur who got stuffed because of the pandemic, which was very real, that's what happened to me. I mean, just today, I was writing. I mean, this is kind of, I guess, boring, but I was filling out my first invoice since the pandemic hit for the company that has been closed since March of 2019, of 2020. Like, this is the first time I've actually written a fucking invoice. And it was a little surreal. It was almost like, damn, it's been that long. And I'm completely in this new role now. Like, I saw everything where I saw where I left off on everything. It was kind of crazy. It was like you see the last keystroke you left. Like when you were trying to save the ship. And you were coming up with ideas for the pandemic during the pandemic, but it was getting worse and worse and worse. And then the governor shuts everything down, and then you're like scrambling, and you're like, wait, I can't, now I can't legally do this. Before it was like morally, it was like, I can't, it's unconscionable to have people doing, my type of business was very event-based. So I would have to have a lot of people around each other. Imagine when you do like big team builders, like we do events that are fucking huge, man. Like festivals, that kind of stuff. So I'm super affected. I was super affected by the pandemic. I wasn't some like fucking consultant that just couldn't go to your house or something. Like we were actually doing big, huge events. And because of the pandemic, we directly got fucking stuffed. So it's really crazy to look at where, like the unfinished sentences, or not the unfinished sentences, but like the notes at the bottom of a document or the bottom of like an infographic. Or like a flyer that I was, not a flyer, but like an infographic. Like I was working on something that I could post on social media for people to be like, hey, we're down but not out. Like, we'll do contactless this or whatever. But when you stopped because the governor was like, you can't legally do it anymore. That's crazy to pick up where you left off today. And that entrepreneurial experience, it was 5 years. It was hard, man. It was really, that's the hardest shit I've ever done in my life. And they always tell you when you open your own business, it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. Nobody ever prepares you for how hard it actually is. It will take the ever living shit out of you every day. It's crazy, man. It is crazy. At least doing events. I think maybe if you're like a graphic designer, something a little bit less labor intensive, you don't have to hire a bunch of people to do events and shit like that. It's probably a lot easier. My type of work was really, really hard. But being an entrepreneur, obviously very hard, but very rewarding. And now that I've gotten, I guess what I'm trying to get at is now that I've gotten the taste of what corporate America has to offer, I don't think, I think I'd rather be on my own, to be very honest. And I think that's where I was. That's why I started my company in 2015. It was because of that, because I didn't want to work for corporate America anymore. I didn't want to do the, you know, I was also bartending. I didn't want to bartend anymore. I wanted something that I was in control of. And, you know, going through the pandemic, being kicked a lifesaver from company X, taking it, and very appreciative, very appreciative. But then seeing what all that is about, and then now being asked to come back after we were doing just fine at home, if not better, says you, says them. They always say the grass is always greener. Well, if you tried both hills, now you see which one you want. I kind of want to go back. I think I'm going to go back to being an entrepreneur. I, you know, I'm a lot wiser now than I was a few years ago, you know, or beginning of the pandemic. I know a lot about boring interest rates in the housing market and shit like that that I can bore you with, but that's not what I want to do. And when I got that job, I was really happy and I gave it 200%, man. I really did. I gave it everything. I mean, I worked 14-hour days. I was working like 65 hours a week, almost 70 hours a week. I was crushed. I was doing everything. There are guys that work 150-hour pay periods on the regular. Maybe that's for them. Cool. That's not for me. That's unhealthy. And I think this trip today is really giving me perspective as to what's best for me as an individual. And it's certainly not being chained to a fucking desk for a minimum of 10 hours a day. Minimum of 10 hours with a half hour break, half hour lunch. Yeah, we get our little 15 minutes, but, you know, it's like, it's one of those things at the office where they're like, yes, we legally give you one 15 minute per 4 hours of work. And you work 8 hours, so that's 2 15 minutes, so it's a half hour. Yes, we do legally provide that, you know, but they don't fucking encourage it. You know, it's like, you go take a 15 minute, you come back, and they're like, hey, where were you? And it's like, I was on a 15 minute, you're going to say I was on a 15 minute break? No. Right? And at home, it's not like they're not like, hey, what are you doing right now? You done with that? Can I give you more? That kind of shit. That's not the kind of life I want to live, man. And I'm going to go back to where I was. Even though it was harder, I was the one in charge. I was the dishwasher and the fucking CEO. Right? So to speak. Because that's what it is when you're an entrepreneur. You're the fucking, you wear many hats. And sometimes you're the guy sweeping, and sometimes you're the guy fucking signing the, you know, the guy who hands over a contract because his name's already printed on the fucking bottom because you wrote it. But you have to be ready for, you have to be ready for disappointment. That's what I'm telling myself. I'm going to be ready for a ton of success and then not measuring that success as my new average. That's going to be, You know, you're gonna have to, if I win for the first month, you may not keep winning, you know? So you have to be ready for the ups and the downs. But I do know what I'm ready for is making a change. I don't want to do this fucking office life anymore, man. This sucks. And I have a feeling in the next year or two, a lot of people are going to realize that now that we've all gotten a taste of the humanity at the very, very beginning of the pandemic, and that we've gone through so much with everything that's happened politically and socially, just all the drama around the world, just horrible regimes, horrible presidencies, horrible fucking treatment of people, racially, gender, everything else. And I mean, it's just a shitstorm every fucking day, man. You know, now they've literally been saying that the UFOs are everywhere, and people are just like, I don't have time for that shit. Like, that's how fucking crazy we've gotten. It's just insane. But it tells you one thing. I mean, today it tells all of, like, this trip is telling me one thing, is that with all that in perspective, I need to be in a place that makes me happier. And dude, I look at my little cats and I'm like, you guys are the shit. Like, I'm bitching that you're waking me up at 6 in the morning. It's wake me up every day. It's like, okay, don't wake me up every day at 6 in the morning. You know, those neighbors that they're always fucking, like, you're avoiding. I looked outside and they were coming back. It's Sunday. They're coming back from whatever they were doing over the weekend, and they're unpacking their cars. And instead of avoiding them, I stood outside a little longer and I was like, hoping to catch them and be like, hey, how was your trip? You know, making stupid small talk. But it's so cheesy to say it's the little things, but it is, man. It really fucking is. It really is. It's so important to just value. Yes, we can say, because everyone around the world has it. You know, not everywhere around the world, but some kids don't have anything to eat. And yet, yeah, I'm not focusing on the bad. You just have to focus. For right now, I'm focusing on appreciating what you have, what I have, and just doing something that's gonna make me, that's gonna put me in a better position to do more good shit for everyone around me and for myself and for anyone involved. Because this tumultuous lifestyle of like, should I leave? Should I get out? Should I go back? Should I do this? Should I? This questioning every day, this rumination of like, you know, it sucks. It sucks. And I think once a month, I clear my head like this, and now I know that now, next month, I better not be having the same fucking conversation. Got to start making strides. And it's okay to fail. It's okay to stay another month if I have to, but I'm like, my eyes are becoming more and more clear that this is not what I want to do, and that I don't want to become an old, salty old man. That I want to fucking be happy, man. There's nothing worse than regret. There's nothing worse than just seeing every day go by and being like, damn, dude, I'm having the same internal dialogue as last week. Yeah, I gotta change it. Are you gonna do it? No, I'm probably not. Fuck that. Do it. Even if it's 15 minutes, that's what I'm telling myself now. Just fucking do it. If I need to take, you know, 15 minutes out of every day to do some little task that is going to be part of a greater goal for my career, for my lifestyle, then I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. Because you know what sucks? Sitting at work, sitting at your desk and being wide awake. Like, first off, you hate going there. You're exhausted. You're in bed. You're like, yo, I don't want to get up and go do this bullshit. And you keep like hitting that. Everybody hits the snooze once or twice. Let's be real. I mean, not everybody's perfect about popping up. We all wake up good 30 minutes before we have to engage the misery of the fucking day, right? Time to suck today's dick. So you get to the fucking office, you finally wake up, you're finally doing your thing, you're crushing your day, you're all like happy about it for a few minutes. But really, you're just getting through your day. And then you start going, oh man, you know what? I'm gonna start doing that thing I have been telling myself I'm gonna do. I'm gonna become a writer. I'm gonna become a personal trainer. I'm going to develop some new application. I'm gonna code. I'm gonna do whatever it is that I'm gonna do. As soon as I get off of work today, I'm gonna do it. And you're sitting there and you're giving this stupid fucking job the best days of your life, or the best moments of your day, is what I'm saying. Sorry. And you're sitting there, you're finally energized, your brain's clear, and you're completing all your work assignments on time, you're pumping, right? And you're in the back of your head, you're like, hey, when I get home, I'm gonna do something about this like dream that I have. I'm gonna change, I'm gonna do it. And as soon as 5 o'clock hits, you get this huge serotonin dump, and you're so fucking happy to be out of work that you get home, you know, you do your happy hour. If you do your happy hour, if you don't, you go straight home. You're still on that serotonin high. You're so fucking happy to be out of that damn place that you just turn on TV, you start relaxing, you eat something good, you like take your shoes off, you change, you relax. And before you know it, it's fucking 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and then you're like, oh, I'm just so happy to be home. And you never did what you said you were gonna do. So that serotonin dump is kind of the worst fucking thing that can happen to your day at the end of the day. It's like, now I'm starting to realize I have to push through that. Because I didn't actually do any of those little things I said I wanted to do for, you know, bettering my lifestyle. I'm just so happy to be out of that damn cage that nothing for me actually gets done. So day after day, week after week, I keep like pushing it back, pushing it back. So, no, that's got to change. Can I have these thoughts and these feelings when I'm not on mushrooms? Yeah, but when I'm on mushrooms, immediately it's like real. You're having a real dialogue. Like I just said to myself a little while ago, it was like some guy that popped into my head. It was like some bad work relationship I had when I was, you know, running my company. It's like, man, that fucking guy hated you. God, I fucking hated that guy. And it was like, you know, that was your fault though, right? I was like, yup, that was my fault. You know, a lot of that relationship that went south was probably my fault. And so those are the thoughts that I don't often have when I'm just going through my day. You know, not on mushrooms. Obviously, I don't go through my days on mushrooms, but that's the kind of reality that I have to like confront when I'm on mushrooms. It's pretty satisfying at the end of the day because it's like, holy shit, it peels back all the garbage. It's like, you know, I was kind of a jackass, you know? If I keep doing this job, am I gonna be happy? No. Do you want to be an unhappy guy in like 10, 20 years? No. And so those are the real conversations, man. This last segment, I don't know if you guys can even hear me because I'm going to the shower. That's how free I'm feeling right now. Why not? So I'm not advocating. I'm not telling anybody to do mushrooms. But I'm certainly going to say that they feel great. And I mean, I'm in the DC area, man. We just passed Initiative 81, which is a step forward in the decriminalization of psilocybin mushrooms and the legitimacy of the mushroom as a therapy. Honestly, I'm usually good, but there are times when I just feel kind of insecure. When I feel, I mean, dude, especially after these last few years, I lost my company. I mean, I can't pretend like I haven't gone through real fucking depression. But aside from that, even during the company years before that, we all suffer from certain types of depression, anxiety, all kinds of things. Tripping on shrooms to have fun feels awesome, but really it's because it's a medicine and you took a medicine. It's like you prescribed yourself something that was, what's the word I'm looking for? Where am I going with this? Using it recreationally is dope because it's not, I don't know, it's just hard to explain. I don't want to feel like I have to be on right now. How do I find words out of this? I mean, obviously when you take shrooms and you feel good, it feels fantastic. You feel more in tune with everything. You feel happier. You feel, you know, what are the negatives? If you eat too much, you might get sick. You feel a little wonky, you feel out there, but that's the beauty of it, is that you're out there, you're actually exploring parts of your mind, parts of your personality that you never, ever explored. You're coming to terms with parts of your, like your psyche that you would always, you're probably going to keep lying to yourself about forever, you know? So when you take it recreationally, it may not feel like you're taking medicine because that's not what you intended it to be, but you're taking fucking medicine. You're taking something that's... I don't know, man. Unless you've done it before, it's hard to explain. I mean, you just feel so... It's so primordial. You just feel a lot more in tune with everything around you. Like that little tile on that wall. It's like, man, I fucking love that tile. You know? I mean, I'm making a joke, but... You're so much more appreciative of the things that you have. You're so much more real with yourself. You know? I mean, the only time I've ever told myself I love you in the mirror is when I was on fucking mushrooms. And it sounds really weird, especially coming from a guy, especially as a guy. But the only times you'll be that real with yourself, at least for me, is when I've been on psilocybin mushrooms. For me to admit that I was wrong in certain cases, like that guy I mentioned earlier, dude, I haven't thought of that fucking dude in years, man. All of a sudden, he pops into my head. It's almost as if the universe brought him in there, or my brain. I'm sorry. Let's pretend like it's not universe. It's like my brain just brought him up because it was something that I had not confronted and something that I had not fixed. So it was like, hey, by the way, we need you to fix this real quick so we can file it away in the fixed file cabinet because it's still in the pending and we can't leave shit in pending. Like, you need to clear this cache, bitch, and we need you to confront all this shit so we can move on with our life. It's like you have another person in there that needs to... You know, it's like you're fucking... Your accountant is like, dude, we need you to rectify these damn documents before we can move forward, you know? So, I admitted to myself that I fucked that one up. And I also admitted to myself when he was a fucking asshole, and I still felt the same about that, at the, you know, while I'm admitting that I was wrong. So then I know that I wasn't wrong in thinking what I thought of him as well. You know, like, yeah, he was kind of a fucking asshole. But I definitely had something to do with it, which is something that I didn't tell myself before. So I was actually taking part of the blame for that bad relationship and not dumping the whole fucking thing on him. Super healthy, man. That's super healthy. It's just incredible that these things, I don't consider them drugs, man. I think they're... I don't want to consider them medicines. I want to consider them therapies. You know? Because it's almost undefinable how good you feel when you're on this. I mean, obviously, I can't walk around like this every day. Because, yeah, certain things set you off. I mean, right now, I'm good, and then 5 minutes later, I could start thinking about something super depressing, and even though I'm going to work through it eventually, it's just that, you know, you're walking through your normal sober life. If this were last Sunday, a normal sober Sunday, I'm not going to think about something super depressing, and that's the issue with psilocybin, is that it makes you... Things are just going to show up in your conscious, that were in your subconscious, and it's just going to be like, hey, deal with this right now. And so that's where it can go bad, you know? Not like you're going to freak out or jump out of some fucking, you know, building or something. It's just that you don't want to all of a sudden get sad while you're working through something that happened to you when you were 19, you know what I mean? Which is a long time for me.